It is my pleasure today to have in the studio Mike Mwinedata, co-founder of the Portland-based Rwanda Bean Company, along with Nick Mazurowski. The company buys coffee beans from coffee farmers in Rwanda and invests 50% of its profits back into the communities from which it sources the coffee. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you become interested in coffee?
That's a good question. Coffee back home is the first product that the country exports, and 85% of population there lives on agriculture. So everyone who really needs, some people who need like some kind of resources of income, they get involved in the coffee. So when I moved to United States, I didn't know that coffee is business like I saw. So seeing how people come in the shop from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., spending $4 to a cup of coffee, then I keep wondering why people back home, they are still poor. If one coffee cup can feed the whole family back home. So that really hit me hard, and that's how I started figure out what is missing and why really they are poor over there if everyone who needs money get involved in the coffee. So that's how the idea came in.
In Rwanda, do people drink a lot of the coffee?
No, really. They drink tea.
They drink tea.
So coffee is the first product you export, and tea is the second. So most of people, they don't drink coffee, they drink tea. And I didn't drink coffee until I got here. So they don't really drink tea. They don't drink coffee. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And as you know, the final product is too expensive, so sometimes some of them, if a cup is like a dollar or something, that's a lot of money for them to spend, unless they can get to the point to prepare it themselves to get the cup. So otherwise, to go to the shops and spend that money to buy the cup, it's too expensive, I would say, but tea is easier, it's cheap, so I think that's why most of them drink tea.
So in Rwanda, people also grow tea?
Yeah, we grow tea.
What type of tea is grown over there?
It's black tea. Yeah.
You grew up in Rwanda?
Yes.
And you came to Maine when?
7 years ago?
Seven or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Why Maine?
That's a good question. When I immigrated here, I was in Boston. And then after that, I moved to Maine when I was looking a place to go to school. I was looking some school that are affordable. And Maine, when I keep looking, it looks like was the one state that I can maybe start with. And beside that, I were in contact also with some other African. I like soccer, so one, I came with a group of guys to play soccer here, and I made connection and we start talking like that. So I think here in Maine was easier to connect with people because of the community. And down there, it's a big city. You don't see that much people going around. I think there is so many resources up here that people get connected with others easily than in Boston. So when I moved here, I loved it, and then I stayed.
Do you still play soccer?
Yeah, I do play soccer twice a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
Why did you leave Rwanda?
We had the history. and the history, it was somehow affected some people in any ways. So some people don't have family, they're still looking a place where they can start life. Some other people are struggling with the post-genocide conflict that were still going on. So there were so many reasons that people can leave the country. So it was one of that.
And what about your family? How was your family impacted?
My family. They died in the genocide.
Your family all died as a result of the genocide?
Yeah. I just... It's a long story.
That's terrible.
Yeah. They died.
So you came here because you needed to have a new life.
Yeah, you know, I think I would say sometimes when you grow up, you start looking the opportunity based on maybe your history, what you're gonna do. So sometimes when you get a chance, you grab it. Yeah. So it was one of those chances, and then I grabbed it, and now I'm here.
And you're working towards your MBA at the University of Southern Maine.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's tough. Because, you know, when you move here, you're speaking another language, and then you try to get education in a language you didn't grow up with speaking, which is in higher education, so it requires so much resources and you have to focus. And so I think education was, in the family I grew up, education was a really big thing in our family. So I remember my dad used to say that you can lose everything in life, people can take, because whatever was going on with the conflict, people lose their jobs, people lose their homes. And he always say, you know, we can struggle, but when you go to school, you can start over and try to. So I never lose that focus, and that's why also in the percentage as we grow, we're gonna be giving back to the farmers. A portion of it is gonna be to help other kids over there to go to school.
So the 50% of the profits from your company, that's part of what you're hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, there is so many things to accomplish with that 50%, because sometimes people don't know how value $1, what impact $1 can make over there. So with that 50%, we are looking to find a way to help farmers to be more sustainable, help them get connected to this market, produce a good quality of the beans, but also help them in improve their lives. So that includes some of them, even if they are in a coffee business, they can't afford to send kids to school. So sometimes those farmers, their children are relying just on that coffee business. And so that means if they can afford to go to school, when they grow up after they finish elementary school or high school, they start helping their parents, and somehow they end up in that way. And the country is trying to is coming over whatever the tragedy they went through, and they try to develop the business where everyone is involved. And I believe education is one key to help the country, society grow more. And I think education can reduce that 85% of population relying on subsistence agriculture, create more jobs. And so it's just a beginning, but I hope one small step can take you to a big step. So it's a beginning, and I want to see it grow and see where it takes us.
So when you go to a coffee shop and you see somebody spending at least $4 for a cup of coffee, and you know that $4 back in Rwanda
can feed the whole family.
Feeds the whole family.
A day.
For a whole day.
And then maybe someone is buying two cups a day. So that's like a meal of 2 days. That's how I try just picturing. And then I'm like, how can I sell more coffee so then I can...
So you can send more dollars over.
We don't focus just on giving back, because we also buy the beans at a premium price. So because we are not buying through the middleman, so we're bringing in the beans direct from them. But the whole system is to help them. Some of the farmers don't have access to the resources they need to be able to provide the final product, that which is the beans we bring here, because they can't afford it. So with the structure of our business of giving back, we're gonna be building those kind of resources that is owned by those co-ops, those farmers. So that means even if we can't buy all the product because we don't have the market yet, but they can still not selling the beans as cherries, they can sell the beans as a final product. So that means at least we are bringing value to the product. So that's the whole thing, that's the program that we're trying to accomplish. Yeah, we're still figuring out how to make it happen, but I believe this is our third year, and I believe we have learned, because when I came in the coffee business, I didn't know anything about coffee. So I run every day. I speak to them every day. So I speak to people who drink coffee. I know people want like really good coffee here. And I know people love to feel like what they are spending is getting back really to the roots, where those products they are eating or drinking come from. So I try to be like a bridge that connects those farmers and the consumers, and see where it takes us.
Where is your coffee sold now?
We are online on our website, so people can buy the beans on roasted coffee on our website, and then we ship to them. We are also do wholesales in local stores like Scratch Bakery in South Poland, the Farm Stand in South Poland, Rory's Natural Market, both Poland and Scarborough, the Iron Cheese in Scarborough,
Cheese Iron in Scarborough, yes.
We are in Aurora Provision in West End, AC Store up here on Washington Ave, Arabica, in a few restaurants we are, Evo, the King's Head. So we are in those small shops around the city, but we hope to expand it as we grow.
Your co-founder is Nick Mazurowski.
Yes.
And are the two of you responsible for getting the coffee into the wholesale locations or into the restaurants? Are you the ones who are convincing people to put your coffee out there?
Yeah, we go there, we go there door by door, we talk to them. We have a few tools that we use, media, and we try to get the word out, so, and then we know the coffee is really good, so we know when it gets in their hands, at least there's a big chance they will have it. So we try just to get the word out and see what happens. So
once people try the coffee, they'll keep buying the coffee.
Yeah, because what we focus on is the quality first, and then all other things comes after. Because if we want you to drink coffee and we want you to have impact, first we want to make sure you are drinking good coffee, and then you feel good about what you're doing with it. So once we get the coffee there, our job is done. We are waiting you to see if you really want to keep drinking it.
How many other people work in your company?
By now, I would say it would be me and Nick, but most of our jobs, we hire like third-party contracts. Yes, we hire agencies and companies to do some of our job until. We have been focusing much on business development, on brand development. So I think now we are working on expanding the team and bringing in more skills people in the areas where we need to, and then working from there.
How many farmers do you work with in Rwanda?
Right now we are working around 300 to 400.
And these are farmers that work within a cooperative?
Yes, that's one co-op.
That's one co-op.
Yeah, in one region. So we had to start. There is more than 200,000 farmers in Rwanda, and row of coffee farmers. And Rwanda, it's a small country. It's a third of men. So you can feel three Rwandans. Instead of men, but it's a 13 times population. So men have 1.3 population. Rwanda has 13 million. So you can imagine if you're working with 300 coffee farmers, that's a small number compared to how small countries and how overpopulated it is. So that's just one small region, that's one co-op. But I always get calls, text message from people from Rwanda asking if we can work. I just fly back from Seattle to the Coffee Expo, the world's Coffee Expo. And I was lucky to meet with people from Rwanda who are there to talk about the coffee, to talk about the product. And so I got a chance to meet with all of them, and everyone is like, how can we work together? So that really shows you the inability to access to the market. And I think finding a way to connect them to the market will be a good way to improve what they do and see the magic happens.
How much coffee are you able to bring into Maine and the United States right now?
So we don't do like big scales. As I told you, we've been focusing on brand development, but we have access to the inventory. We have a warehouse. So we have been focusing on bringing in the quantity of the beans that we are able to move, but we can bring like containers. We just still working on the access to the market. Coffee business is a very competitive market, and it takes time, people, to start trusting your brand and to start knowing you are out there, to know your quality. So I think we are moving toward to bring in as much as we can, as grow the market as much as we can. We are right now getting involved in a few products. So we are launching like a cold brew that is gonna be in Boro. So that's another piece of the market that we are bringing in. So if that increase the quantity that we really wanna bring in, then that's how we're trying to work step by step.
What have you learned through your MBA studies that you've been able to apply to your coffee company?
I have learned maybe how I would say to be professional, but I wouldn't say that what I'm doing, I learned from the MBA. What I'm doing comes from my heart. I think that's what I really wanted to do. I wasn't even thinking about like owning a company. I just, when I saw the coffee situation, I just say I wanna do something. So either from school, but it's not like skills that I learned in school that I'm applying to the business. No, it is just things I love to do. I like to do something socially that have impact to people and makes me feel good, and I like to be connected with people. So for me, it will be amazing to see the company succeed by connecting people here and people back home and see good things happen. So, and that is not something I learned from school. It's just I love people and I want to do something to improve their lives. So I want to provide good coffee to people who love drinking coffee, but I also want to do amazing things to people who grow that coffee. So but you still need to know how to navigate your numbers and the policies and the taxes. So those are where the score comes in. So I would say it's a compliment. It's not just saying you're good or at what you do, but sometimes there is some things you have to run when you want to throw the rolls, and so those are the stuff you have to get educated on. And I think I would say just loving do things doesn't say you do it right, so you always have to comply with the rules and the what you want to do and make sure it all flows together. So I would say education comes in and complement the what I try to do, and I would say it's all vice versa. So
your father was right about education, that it's important. It's not everything, but it is something that once you have it, nobody can take it away from you, and it'll become what it needs to be in your life.
So the reason why my father would say that he was really hard on us when it comes to education. So if you don't have a good grade, he will really yelling at you, but he wanna show you he's not like yelling at you because he just wants you to perform well. He just wanna show you how important is the education, and I believe in that. I believe education is a good tool for people to have, and it's important one because I think it opens up your mind and to see the, to analyze what is going on, but also enable you to do, to be an employer or employer of something. So you will see when there is no any application, where even if it's serving in a restaurant, or it's always asked to have, you will, sometime when I read them, they say, at least you need to have education in high school. So you will see there is always something you have to learn from school. And I can second my dad saying that education is something that is important. And I think he was right.
I have been speaking with Mike Mwanudata, who is the co-founder of the Portland-based Rwanda Bean Company, which buys coffee from coffee farmers in Rwanda and invests 50% of its profits back into the communities from which the coffee was sourced. Good job with what you're doing. I appreciate all the hard work you're putting into this, and I thank you for coming in today.
I really appreciate the opportunity you guys gave me, and thank you.